Hey, it's Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady Quinn. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up on the show, what's next for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? And what does his future look like now that they appear to be on the right path to play in 2021? We're also going to get to the bottom of the Simone Biles drama. A lot of outrage in the Olympics. Jamal Adams, he's at camp. Is he going to get paid? There's a couple of quarterbacks that have yet to show up and sign their contracts in the NFL. And a Tootsie Roll conversation. It doesn't make sense now, but it will when you keep on listening. It's LeVar Arrington, it's Jonas Knox, it's Brady Quinn, it's Outkick the Coverage right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Brady Quinn, look who decided to slum it with a couple of radio guys on a Wednesday, huh?
I've been waiting for this all week long. Jeez. I've been waiting for this, LeVar, brother. Good to have you back, man. Hope you've been well.
Yeah,
I always look forward to this.
Now, when you're working TV, and LeVar's been filling in on So Speak for Yourself,
like
correct?
Brady
right,
on
baby.
The big show.
No, but this
is, you know, we're you know,
you guys are funny.
You know, see,
you're going to break on me right now.
I'm just saying, you know, when you're working with, you know, the great Rick Bucher and Joy Taylor. Yeah. At what point during yesterday's show on Fox Sports 1 did you think to yourself, oh, Christ, I got to go work with those two slappies in the morning? I mean, come on.
Hey, let me just tell you this, right? I was here yesterday. I was here in the studio to do the show yesterday.
Brady, listen to this.
I'm making my coffee, and Daddy G's like, oh! I'm like, what's wrong, man? He's like, you startled me. I was like, oh, well, what happened? He's like, you know you're not in today. I was like, oh.
What?
I was like, so basically, Danny, I startle you when you're not expecting to see a big black man.
Hold on. Next time, man, I'll be honest with you. No one has clarity in this whole situation. Come on the show. Let's do the show together. Hey. Like, who cares at this point,
hey,
right?
Hey, Brady.
Like, yeah.
Hey, Daddy looks at me. He's like, you want to stay? I said, dude, I'm going to get an amazing spoon in right now. I'm usually asleep at this time. I'm going to slide up in there and get me an amazing spoon.
So you didn't mean with Jonas. Oh, I see.
No, not with Jonas.
There's not room in my futon. Don't worry. About it. Yeah, there's not enough room out there.
I thought about it, though, Brady. I did. Do you want to fill in?
No. I mean, now I got to ask you, though, LeVar. Did you show up in flip-flops and a T-shirt with some cool retro 80s glasses on like Aaron Rodgers when you walked in the facility? Or what?
Well, it was clothes. I mean, look, I got purple on and flip-flops this morning. Some parachute pants on.
How about that stunning development? Rodgers is back, LeVar. Can you believe it? Aaron Rodgers is back in the facility in Green Bay.
I told you guys he'd be back. Man, it's been a long time coming. Everybody, if you're paying attention to all of everything that has happened, Aaron has rarely said anything that would be connected to anything with him not showing up. I mean, we haven't heard anything from him other than on the match. So it's like kind of like for me, everybody who was turning it into he wasn't going to show up. Or they were bracing for him to retire. You know, I think that was a little bit overstated.
LeVar, though, like now, I mean, again, we've talked about it a little bit, but we've got the chance to see how you think. My impression is like people on the outside, they didn't really get it because it's easier for them to understand that he wants a new contract with more money. Like, that's easy for everyone to go, oh, yeah, I get that. I want more money, too.
Right.
Like everyone can understand that.
Yes.
But then in this case, they're like, no, they're restructuring the contract. And then everyone's just like, wait, what? Like, wait, what do you mean? He's not getting more money. He gets more control and freedom of how he leaves. Like, people are having a hard time digesting this. Did you look at it, though, as a former athlete and say, no, I get what he was doing with how he wants this thing to end?
You know what, Brady? I have been conflicted. And listen, when I did the show yesterday, I listened to Greg Jennings, who played with Aaron Rodgers, say that this is indeed his last season. For me, I've taken it a step further because it isn't about the money. And like you said, it is certainly about the control of all of this. I don't know that I can relate to his scenario as a former athlete because I never played for a team that doesn't have an owner. I've basically said that he's walking into a building where he doesn't really have formidable adversaries. And what we are seeing, in my humble estimation, is a guy who is manipulating things the way that he wants to manipulate them. And by them doing this restructuring the way that they did and making the concessions that they did for him to come back in, all he's doing is showing you that he can get them to move. You know, that was the conclusion I came to.
Yeah.
Whether he decides, it's like this. To me, I feel like he stacked the deck. And how did he stack the deck? If he has another great season, he yet again puts Green Bay in a compromising situation. If you're the GM or the president of this organization, are you in position to really get rid of Aaron Rodgers? Like, what happens? What's the backlash if you have the type of season that New England had after they let Tom Brady go? You don't have Bill Belichick or the owner of Robert Kraft to lean on and say.
All of a sudden, everybody's on the hot seat.
All of a sudden, everybody. Guys are going, somebody's going to lose their job. Who's going to be the one that pulls the trigger on getting rid of Aaron Rodgers? That's what this deal signifies. If I have a bad year as Aaron Rodgers, you know what? I can dictate and I can choose. We're going to have a year-end review of what teams I want to go to, how I want to be traded, how I want to depart. So basically, they're going to have the right to what, deny the trade or whatever it may be. He has the right to decide who he's getting traded to. I don't know the exact details of it, but the way it's set up and the way it's structured, it's totally in favor of Aaron Rodgers being able to, if he plays well, to double down on whatever it is he may want from Green Bay. Or if he doesn't play well, he gets to dictate where he goes to play so that he can actually have a say in another good season once he leaves here. So I feel like Aaron Rodgers won this situation, even though a lot of people aren't looking at it that way. He got them to move. Like, how many of us can go to the front office and say, I want to do a restructure, and I want that restructure to read this, 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 and that. And they come out in the public and say, we made concessions so he could come in the camp. How many guys can do it?
He made them dance, man.
He made them dance.
He made them dance. Like, they came out, and they were very, very publicly complimentary about him at the shareholders meeting, the one they most recently had. And here's what I think he did, because this is the last year no matter what. I've heard, like, the people who write about, well, if they win a Super Bowl, no, he's gone.
Okay.
This is that sweet, long goodbye, and this is the ability just to, if he does do that, be able to still walk out the door and say, yep, sorry about it. like this is the position you put me in. I'm out. I'm moving on. I think no matter what, it's his last year. But the important thing to me, and I think people tend to overlook this, and this is probably something Brett Favre was able to at least help him out navigating, just because Brett went through this experience.
Yes,
almost
he
the
did.
Exact
same thing, yeah.
Is you're writing your own story. And the best part about the story, it's usually the end.
Mm.
And the problem with so many athletes, and I know you can relate to this, and Jonas even, like, I know you dog on your career as an athlete, but you played sports, bro. Like, your career, whether it started, ended, whatever you want to call it, like, everyone's career comes to an end
about?
At some point.
I ski ball at the carnival? What are you talking
it
about?
It ends at some point. You're
it
right.
It ends at some
whether,
point.
Whether Little League or
right.
high school. Yeah,
and,
you're right.
And I think everyone wants to end it the best way possible. And the reality is only 1% of athletes, it probably ends on an – I don't care if it, like, to your point, if it was Little League and you hit a home run to win the game and then that was it. You're like, you know, I'm done with this. I don't want to play Little League anymore. Like, I don't care if it's at that level, at the professional level. You want to end it so your last memory is your best memory.
Hmm.
And that's where you – in this case for Aaron, it's not going to end the way he wanted it to in Green Bay.
Hmm.
They drafted Jordan Love. They started this whole thing. So he at least wants to have the ability to move on after Green Bay, if he so chooses, to go somewhere else and then go try to end it the way he wants. I think that's the powerful thing is this dude is the author of his story in the NFL, And he's now got the control to write his final chapter or write the ending of this. And I think that's what he did. That's apparently maybe even more valuable than even money or more money in a contract.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit, though. And the reason why I'm going to push back on it is because while everyone will assume and say that this is it, like you just said, this is definitively it. And I love the narrative that you're creating, and it makes so much sense. I just don't think that that's how Aaron Rodgers' mind works. I think that it is a much more strategic, a much more creative way of going about things. I told Joy and Rick yesterday, I said, Aaron Rodgers has people looking at the center of the board, but he's using his pieces to flank you in this chess match. And so when I look at what's taking place, we mentioned Brett Favre and what he went through and how eerily similar this situation has unfolded. Brett Favre, in my opinion, in my humble estimation, ended the same way you're saying. It wasn't a graceful departure. It was not the most memorable way in terms of favorably looking at Brett Favre. In fact, in a way, it kind of villainized him.
And for a while.
And the way we're looking at Aaron Rodgers, it has that same type of developing tone to it where you're going to villainize Aaron Rodgers in the way that things are being handled. That is, to me, I don't want to say the easy way of looking at it, but it is the way that this is unfolded. There is something more to this. Again, keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers is a minority owner of the basketball team in Milwaukee. That team just won the finals championship, by the way. I look at this from a different lens. Aaron Rodgers is playing as an owner. Think about this. He is more of an owner and an executive than Mark Murphy or anybody else in the Green Bay organization. Think about that now.
Yeah.
So while people will sit there and say, okay, I believe Aaron Rodgers was trying to leverage getting some of those people out based upon the decisions that they made, bringing in Jordan Love. I believe Jordan Love is not good enough to be the starting quarterback of a level or stature or magnitude that would give them the ability to separate themselves from Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, Brady, you and I both know they would have used them by now. They would have found a way to use Jordan Love by now, if not this offseason coming into this season. Like, listen, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, great. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, great. We have Jordan Love. No glowing endorsements, no type of real support. Says to me that they are scared to death of what they're going to have to deal with if Aaron Rodgers isn't on this team. So to me, I think there is a bigger play. And I still think the bigger play is to strategically have a good year, and that could possibly be the final stand to try to get some changes made that he would like to have made before he pulls the trigger and does it yet again. Here's my problem. I'm disgruntled. Da, da, da. This, that, and other. But I'm staying here. Why go somewhere else where there's an owner?
I will promise you, from all that I know and being around Aaron,
he's out of there.
Okay, this is it.
Well, Greg Jennings said the same thing, but I'm gonna just put this bold.
I'm gonna put this bold prediction out there. I appreciate it.
If it plays out the way that I said, I look like a genius. If it doesn't, then you can keep calling me dumb like people always do. You know what I mean? That's a little win-win for me too.
Here's the only thing that I think kind of stands in the way of the Jordan Love deal is you got to take into account he didn't have a full offseason last year. We didn't have any preseason games, so. As much as you think they might be scared, they also might be saying, like, his growth was stunted. It wasn't like he had the same.
But why not the endorsement this year, Brady? See, that's the thing that concerns me.
Hold on. Because forget about the endorsement this year. You still have Rodgers not only 1A under contract, he's the reigning MVP.
The truth.
He's the one that was disgruntled and wanted to move on or was frustrated with the situation. Packers weren't. They're happy with what he did last year as the league MVP.
Of course.
So you're not going to give Jordan Love an endorsement or a marketing or whatever other deal or try to push him up when you've got the MVP on your roster,
so you
that would only
that
stoke
a,
the Flames more.
No, well, I mean, the Flame is the Flame, right? If he's disgruntled,
no,
he's disgruntled.
LeVar, come on, dude. There was already a public back and forth
but
with
then
Aaron
now
and
that,
Mark Murphy.
But now that plays
and you
more.
Want the Packers to stoke the Flames for Jordan Love?
Yeah. Yeah, because no. in terms of negotiating, you got to give yourself some type of leverage.
There is no negotiating, right? Because they tried to. They tried to give him a contract with a big bunch of money, which gave them what? Control. And that's not what he wanted to give up. He wanted control. He didn't want more money. He's got money. He's looking at it saying, I want the ability to play out this last year and then choose where my next step
but if
is,
it's
to choose
that dire,
where my final chapter is.
If it's that dire of a situation, why not part ways? Let me give you a great example.
Because,
I know we're up
because,
on it.
Because it's not him. They tried to. They had a trade set up. That whole thing fell through. They did.
Could, if
the Packers
really...
are the ones that backed out because they realized it would look awful if they traded away the league MVP for starters. And the other thing is, it does give Jordan Love, which I brought up earlier, he didn't have an offseason really his rookie year. He didn't have a preseason. He gets all that now.
But
so
if
he gets
Rodgers
another
wanted
year
to
sitting
leave,
behind him.
If Rodgers wanted to leave so badly, he should have found a way out. When I wanted to get out of Washington, I gave $2 million back to get out. If it's not about money, get out. See, to me,
I feel like
stuff you're saying
on,
is contradicting.
It's really not, because think about the San Francisco situation, which was the rumored team that was maybe looking at him, right?
Okay.
Are they going to take him now?
They could have back then.
Well,
when the offseason started. When all of this.
Well, sure, which was in March. The draft happened end of April.
Right.
Once the draft happened, they took Trey Lance. That's over. That's over.
Well,
so that's not an option anymore.
But you're basing it off of a trade. What I'm saying is,
yeah.
is if Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled
they
and wants to leave,
they're not gonna release him, LeVar. Like, be reasonable in what you're thinking. If he gives back money, it doesn't matter. He's under contract. They're not gonna release the league MVP.
They're not gonna
release the league MVP. They're not gonna do it. You know how bad that looks for them to do that?
But you know how bad it looks if they go forward and he has another great year and he gets out of there. It's
that's
still the same.
That's the position, and that's what he got back. That's the power of all of it. That's what's special.
Maybe
about
we're
this.
Saying the same thing, just coming from different angles. Because I agree with the last part you said, but I don't necessarily. If Aaron Rodgers wants out so bad, this is the last dance. I don't want to be here. I don't like front office. I'm disgruntled. This, that, and the other. There are certainly ways you can structure your contract where it's not a hit on the salary cap. And
that's
they can let you go. And they
but
they can let you go now. Why play it out? Why play another
LeVar,
season?
How you put on the hat of a front office executive?
I have
are
it on
you
right
gonna
now.
Let go as disgruntled as your league MVP is?
Yes.
Are you gonna let him go and then tell your fan base, we couldn't come to an agreement, he was so disgruntled.
Now you have Za'Darius Smith saying that he's a little disgruntled about his contract. Now you may guys come out and do the same exact thing because they're watching the example that they're allowing Aaron Rodgers to make.
So they're two completely separate things. Because did you notice Davante Adams now isn't disgruntled? Now they've got their contract talks back going again. Why? Because it actually allows for more cap space for Davante Adams. So that actually stands right in the face of your argument. So what he did actually creates more cap space in the future. It allows Adams to have more cap space. It allows them to have more cap space for Za'Darius Smith. All the stuff you're talking about was last week's news, not what happened now with Rodgers restructuring what they did.
Fair enough, but it still happened. You still have to acknowledge the fact that people broke off negotiations. Yes, he did restructure, and it does allow for that and all those things you said. But if you do have on a GM's hat, you're not going to sit there and allow for a player to continue to dictate to you how you're going to do what you're going to do. Yes, they did. But that goes back to my original point. But that goes back to my original point. At some point, are you going to draw a line in the sand, or is Aaron Rodgers gaining more and more confidence and more power with what it is that he's trying to do in Green Bay?
No, he's done. It's his last year.
But for what?
It's his last year.
So why do all of this? Why do all of this?
So he could get out and they couldn't have control after this year. Because remember, based on how his contract was structured, they were going to have the say in where he goes. It's voided now. That's not the case. He can decide to move on. They don't have any say in it anymore. After this year, he can openly, freely decide to move on to whatever team he wants. That's not the case.
Who made
how his
who
contract
look bad?
Was previous structured.
Who made who look bad in all of this, in these exchanges? Who made who look bad?
I don't know that anyone looked bad. I think he ultimately got what he wanted. I think Mark Murphy is the person who was brought to light. Mark Murphy, who he had a disgruntlement with before this all came about. I don't know that anyone – I don't know that many people who knew who Mark Murphy was.
Agreed.
Unless you're into football and all that.
Yep.
People know who he is now. There's a magnifying glass on him and the job he's doing moving forward. And that's where your point about Jordan Love. If after this year, if he starts next year in 2022 and he's not the guy, it's going to look really, really bad. But we'll only know that in retrospect.
Well, some of us may know it in retrospect. I think he already has an idea of it, and so does Aaron Rodgers. And maybe so does Jordan Love. And maybe so does his teammates.
It is possible. Outkick the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn here on FSR. Controversy in the world of sports, but what is really going on maybe behind the scenes that isn't getting discussed? We'll get into that, all of that for you next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Wait, hold on, Jody. What you trying to say, Danny? What were we battle rapping last segment? You trying to say me and Brady was battling? Brady is a little louder than me on that one, man. I got to get my volume up.
I thought he was playing this for Jonas. Yeah. I thought this was one of those.
You are who you say you are,
yeah,
Jonas?
That's all I am. Oh, okay. Listen, just the only athlete on this show sitting around a bunch of guys that never, you guys don't get it. You never play the game. You don't know what this is like, this whole grind. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. So we are going to get into a discussion, a lot of drama, a lot of controversy in the world of sports surrounding this discussion. The Simone Biles drama over in Tokyo. Yesterday we were on the air, and she all of a sudden pulled out from the team competition. Mm-hmm. And there was speculation. Was it an injury? What was going on?
There was speculation that you jinxed them, Jonas.
Well,
I'm going to throw that out there.
All right, that's unfair. All right,
Jeez, so
Brady's wife, Alicia, is a former U.S. Olympian. She was on the
gymnastics team. I heard she was on the show, right?
Yeah.
We were hyping up Simone. So before we were literally like, you should place wagers on them. They're the favorite, even though they came in as second on the prelims. So we were kind of talking the gambling angle too, how they're the heavy, heavy favorites. So we were laying it on pretty thick for Team USA.
And rightfully
so. Yeah, I mean, rightfully so.
At least the gymnastic gods are listening to the show, and they said, "Nah, not so fast. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna put an end to all that." But point being, there is a lot of pushback going on. Simone Biles is talking about her mental health, as Eddie pointed out in the bottom of the hour update. Some people are out, supporting her, calling it courageous. Others are saying she quit. What the hell's going on behind the scenes there, Brady? What is happening here that maybe you can shed some light on in talking to your wife about how these games might be different than some others?
Yeah, look, I don't know that Simone really wanted to do the games this year. I mean, you have to think about this now. If it was a year ago, maybe a little bit different story. As an Olympian, they're always, they're always geared up for world championships each year, but the Olympics kind of has a different feel to it, being once every 4 years. And for her in particular, she's been so good. She has carried Team USA for so long. She has been the difference between them winning gold and then winning a silver. And so I think she's had to carry that for a long time. And the buildup to looking to have forward to having it last year, then another year of this, it's weighed on her. She's 24 years old. And I can relate to this because I watched my wife at 24 years old, after tearing her Achilles in Tokyo in World Championships, want to make a comeback and want to try to go for the 2012 Olympics as an event specialist. And I just remember watching everything she went through at that age and having conversations with her. And what happens is when these girls first start really getting into it, they're about 14 years old when it starts getting intense. And when I mean intense, I mean like you're traveling around the country. You're traveling at times around the world to go compete. It's expensive. It's stressful. It's high stakes. Anyone who's watched it, when you see it, it's incredible. It truly is astonishing what they can do. And so it starts at 14. And then you start to build up. That's when you're trying to go for Olympics. That's when you're trying to go for world championships. We're talking about now a decade later. And think about how much your mind changes as a young woman, your body changes in those 10 years. And what you start to realize by the time you get to 24 is it worth the pain? Is it worth the injuries? When these girls get hurt, man, they get hurt. Mm-hmm. It's Achilles, it's knees. I mean, it's concussions, it's all those things. And so I know this. I know that started to weigh more where the older you get, and I don't know if you guys feel this way or not, but you start looking at the risk of doing things more so than the benefit. And I think that played – and I know that started to kind of creep into Alicia's mind towards the end when she was at 24. And now you see Simone Biles at 24 who, you know, look, she on her best day, she's better than anyone that's ever done it. Mm. But right now, if her head's not in it, maybe her heart's not in it, you know, she doesn't need to prove it or do it for anyone. So I honestly feel like because of the delay in a year and everything else and just the way this whole year worked out, there's not even fans there and all. I think that plays a little bit of a part mm-hmm. of the experience of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I just think that's what's going on behind the scenes for her right now is obviously she's stepping out of the spotlight, not even due to the individuals.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a more layman's term and not having such an intimate, you know, viewpoint of it, it certainly comes down to you cannot – coming out of an unprecedented year in terms of this pandemic and what it has represented and how it's interrupted things, there's no way that you can minimize anyone that says that in the heat of the battle, in a spectacle as big as the Olympics, that if they state and cite mental health as a reason why you would have any type of anger towards it or call her a quitter. She's too much of a winner to call her a quitter. And there's too much of a backstory, as Brady has mentioned, there's too much of a backstory to sit there and not take what she's saying from a serious perspective. You know, it's so interesting because this is something that is a passion for me. It's what a part of my true purpose and the reason why I do media, the reason why I coach, the reason why I do all the things that I do, I mentor, is because of how important mental health is. It's so amazing to me. You go to a football facility, you go to any type of major facility, and they always have two major things along with the meeting rooms and all those different things for the players. They have a training room and they have a weight room. State of the art. They make sure they put millions of dollars into making sure that they can physically rehab you and they can get you physically fit to be able to compete. Why is there not a facility for mental health? Why do you not have a resident mental health expert at every single one of these facilities? Why isn't there $1 million-plus facility to address the mental health? It's the same thing as physical health. So when we hear these things, it's always been taboo in the past, right? Mental health. They're crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mental health issues. What's wrong? You know, so to me, when you hear these things come out, you're best served to listen and be understanding and open to these conversations at this point in time because it's becoming more prevalent or more acceptable to be able to put out there that I am dealing with something that isn't what you said, Brady, right? It's not a messed up Achilles tendon. It's not a messed up knee. It's not a jacked up toe. It's my health, like my mental, my emotions. I am not healthy in that manner. And that is something that should be taken seriously, not condemned. That's my vantage point from it.
There's a guy, George St. Pierre, is one of the great UFC fighters of all time. One of the all-time great MMA fighters of all time. And he said there was a fight he had back in the day in which he lost to Matt Serra. It was a massive upset, one of the biggest upsets in the UFC. And he tapped on strikes to where he was getting punched in the face on the ground, and he tapped. As opposed to covering up or trying to fight back, he tapped. And they asked him afterwards, what happened? And he just said, I got scared. And this is one of the baddest dudes on the planet. One of the baddest guys on the planet that would whoop anybody's ass. Has won world title after world title. He avenged the loss. He smashed Matt Serra the next time they fought again. But he acknowledged, in the moment, I just freaked out. I lost control. And so I think to label it as, oh, she's just a quitter. Like, there's more to it than that. Like, it's a more nuanced conversation. It's easier to do that because it makes for a quicker discussion, and you pick one side, and that's what a lot of people like to do, is pick one side or the other. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there are some people that maybe have taken advantage of the mental health excuse, but I don't think that this maybe was that case. I think this is, especially when she's talking about how in the air, when she's coming down to land, she doesn't know where she's going. Like, man, that's terrifying. Like,
do you think?
Can you imagine? Like, yeah. I mean, think about that.
Dude, imagine when they're on the balance. Like, the balance beam's the one that kind of freaks me out the most. Because you can imagine there's so many different ways that can go wrong. Whether you're flipping, hitting the beam, or just you're already elevated. Now you're jumping up higher off of it. And if you miss altogether. So I just, the whole thing. Here's what I don't understand about the quitting portion of it. Because, and maybe I'm looking at this from like a backup quarterback point of view, but the reality is, do you not think the next person up wasn't extremely excited for the opportunity?
Right.
Like, we try to make this like it's only singular to Simone. If I was on a team and I had a player who was injured, or they're like, man, I don't have it today. Like, I don't feel like I should go. I'd be like, okay, let me go.
Yep,
like,
right.
Like, I would jump at that opportunity to take advantage of that chance, of that stage, to show everyone what I can do. And so, like I saw someone make a comparison to Vontae Davis, the cornerback for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Well, he just said at halftime, like, I'm done.
I'm done. I quit.
I'm done. And honestly, I would sit there and say to him, okay, like, good, man. If that's how you feel, you know, go on to whatever the next thing is. But because we don't want, like, I wouldn't want someone competing next to me that isn't 100% all in. Like, we talk about, you know, everyone makes war references, and I know that's kind of taboo anyway, but, like, do you want someone fighting with you that's not all in? Like, and it's not a dig on Simone, but it's like, if she felt like she was done, okay. Then I'm glad she stopped then, instead of letting it go further where she could have gotten hurt, or she might not have performed up to her standard, and let someone else go. So I had no problem with it whatsoever, and I think people who, the whole quitting thing and all that, like, where were you the last few Olympics when she became the greatest of all time, supporting her and having, you know, apparatus, different moves and apparatuses, like, basically named after her? Like, she was doing a vault, if I'm not mistaken, that's named after her. Mm. Like, but you're going to criticize her? No. She can do whatever she wants, in my mind.
You don't have to walk a mile in Simone Biles' shoes. Not a mile. You don't even have to walk very far, maybe two or three steps, to realize the greatness of who she is and what she represents. And I'm going to continue to beat the drum of, there is someone out there that looks up to Simone Biles. Imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Let's just ponder that. There's someone that looks up to Simone Biles that is going through possibly something that she's going through right now, and they're not as strong to make a decision like what Simone Biles did.
Yeah.
They may be ready to take their life. They may be, you know, doing things that are harmful to themselves. They may be doing things that are harmful to others because they're crying out for help. And now you have somebody who, on one of the largest stages, is showing and saying and representing something that could actually help a larger section of people. I don't think that that's something that people should play around with. Like, it's way too serious of an issue that is diminished or minimized in terms of importance. And for her to have that moment and to be brave enough to do that, people should be applauding her versus trying to figure out how to condemn her. But that's the society that we live in. Misery loves company. Yeah. And a lot of times when people are vulnerable, that's what people do, is pounce on it.
It's called social media.
Oh.
That's the problem. Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. He's Brady Quinn. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, somebody has shown up to camp, but they want to get paid. The question is, should they? We'll get into that for you next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker,
for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. And yeah, that concludes Michael Phelps' dating life.
Jonas.
All right, it is.
Brady, what is wrong with Jonas, man? This dude is touched.
A lot.
Oh my God.
A lot. That's the answer to that.
Oh, man.
So I assumed he informed you on some things that you might have been unaware of, LeVar. Is that?
Brady, you know exactly what he hit me with.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, when he hit me with that, I was like, why are we talking about this, Jonas?
I mean, listen, there's just stories out there that I recall. And,
that's a weird obsession for you.
No, I remember the story.
That's a weird obsession for the guy he's talking about.
Is that an is that an obsession or is it more like a landmine? Shouldn't have stepped there.
I'm going to stay away from any landmines on this scenario.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to do. Steer clear.
And so here on Outkick the Coverage, by the way, we are going to get into coming up 10 minutes from now, still the strangest non-decision by the NFL all offseason. But we were talking about Adam's apples during the break. We now move to Jamal Adams.
You're crazy, man.
What are you talking about? Adam's apples?
Candy apples.
Yeah, come on. Jamal Adams.
Oh,
that's
my
all
gosh.
We're discussing
crab
here.
Apples.
I mean, come on. Get it
any
together,
apple
guys.
But the Adams
can
apple,
we,
please.
Can we have a legitimate conversation here on
oh
Fox
my
Sports
gosh.
Radio? All right.
You're so petty.
LeVar.
You're so petty.
LeVar, so Jamal Adams is at camp. All right. Yep. We need a defensive expert's opinion on
okay.
this. All right. Is he going to get paid, and should he get paid?
Yes and yes. And here's why. Every Super Bowl team has that safety. Everyone. Like, go to any Super Bowl. Name me a Super Bowl team. I'll do my best. But everyone has that safety, whether it be Steve Atwater, whether it be Troy Polamalu, whether it be Ed Reed. You're always going to have – you know, who's my guy that played for Seattle? Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas is the guy. Cam was the enforcer, but Earl was the guy, right? So they're like the other side. Like, the middle backer is one part of the brain of the defense. And then your safety, that safety, they're the other part of the brain. Like, you take Ray and Ed Reed. Like, it's
who
this
was the
both
safety
sides
of this past year's Bucks team then?
I don't know their roster that well. But
well,
I know
the
they
thing
did.
Is, like, that's where, like, I mean, Antoine Winfield was a good rookie.
But whatever it is, whoever it was, he was there is what I'd say, because that is the formula. The formula is to be able to have a defensive front that can anchor you. And if you have a pass rusher, it's always great to have a pass rusher, but you have to have a defensive front that can be able to anchor you within the trenches, like the one hole, the two hole, the A gap, the B gap. You got to have those guys, and then you have to have guys on the edge that can either set an edge, well, can set an edge and get off the edge and get to the quarterback. But in that next level, it always, if you're going to have a Super Bowl formula, you got to have that safety that is the bell cow and that middle backer. That's what it is. Like, that's always, at least what I've known in my history of understanding how defenses work. Like, we had it in Washington, but, you know, things fell apart. Like, we didn't have a dominant middle backer. Antonio Pierce was he was great in his own right and showed that in New York when he got a Super Bowl. But we had him and Sean Taylor. And that was, and we had Ryan Clark, and Ryan Clark might have been the Earl Thomas, and Sean might have been the Cam Chancellor in that duo. But you always have to have, people would have probably said, who is the safety for the Washington Redskins if we won the Super Bowl?
God, you can't say that. How dare you?
We're gonna
get fired.
Washington. Well, it was the Washington Redskins
okay,
at that
good.
Point, and
just
I did play
sure.
for them. So just
Gosh.
So we're clear on that. I'm sorry if I'm not always politically correct on saying the Washington football team when my almost entire career was spent with the Washington Redskins. It is what it is, so I apologize for that. But
gosh,
but you, that would be my response
to it. He's
going
to get us fired, Brady. Do you believe this?
Well, I operate as my own person.
I'll describe it as this. I don't think it has to be a safety. I think in today's game, you got to have the coverage players and corners. You have to have the rushers. It just has to be a dynamic playmaker on defense. Because, unfortunately, like the example you used, he plays Cam Chancellor's role in that defense in Seattle. He's not Earl. Like, he doesn't play back deep middle of the field very often. But he's that guy that plays around the line of scrimmage that he can cover a back tight end. He rushes well. He led the team in sacks. And so he does a bunch of different things. I think that guy, if he's not going to play cornerback or like an edge rusher, he's got to be special. Jamal is special. I'm not sure what that's going to look like from a money standpoint.
Mm. I'm just giving my assessment on it.
Yeah, listen, hour two is coming up next, folks, here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.